change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai. I'm your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast, and I'm happy today to be speaking with Karen Reisch, who is a volunteer engagement professional located in North Dakota, Fargo. Isn't that right, Karen?
Yep.
Did you grow up in Fargo?
I actually did not. I grew up in Michigan, and I moved around a little bit, especially after I got hooked on the volunteerism world and wanting to work in nonprofits. So meandered my way through the Midwest and have decided to call Fargo, North Dakota my home. And I promise to any listener that it is not like the movie or the TV show.
Too funny. I was not going to ask. I was not going to go there, but that is too funny that you should mention it. How did you end up in the nonprofit sector? Was this a choice from the very beginning, or how did you find your way into volunteer management?
Yeah, so like many, I stumbled into it. I went to Central College. It's a small school in Pella, Iowa, and was looking for an on-campus job, and the community-based learning office was hiring community advocates. And so I applied, discovered the world of volunteer management through managing my, co-students, and was hooked, got the bug, and that's all I've wanted to do. And gosh, it's been almost a decade now. So lots to think back and look on, but it's been a fun road.
That's very cool. And so now you do some consulting in the field among some other things, right?
Yeah, so I have worked for a variety of nonprofits and government entities, both large and, very small, two-person shops. And lately I've been doing a lot of consulting and speaking and hearing a lot about what organizations are going through, especially in 2020.
Yeah, let's definitely start with that. What are you seeing that's happening to organizations and their volunteer programs because of pandemic?
Yeah, so I'm sure this isn't a surprise to a lot of people, but we're just not seeing people come back. So we're kind of seeing people fall into three different buckets. So either they're fully back, running as normal, engaging volunteers in the ways they were previously, and their volunteers are just maybe not coming back in full force, or we have aging population that's a high risk deciding not to actively get involved yet. I've got a third that, they're still trying to figure out how to keep their employees safe, let alone volunteers.
Right.
And so they're in no place where they're going to look at it. And then the last bucket, which are the ones that I think kind of the most fun, creative options we have right now, are the ones that they want to engage the volunteers, but they need to figure out a new way. We can't have them just come scoop food in a feeding line. We can't just have them come do cleaning anymore. We need to look at, how are we engaging them and what roles they're filling so that we can get back to a semblance of normal.
Right, right. Well, I mean, normal's simply not achievable, at least not for the next few more months, if not longer anyway. And I think the question is twofold. Is one, can it be done safely, or is it still economically feasible? Like, I hear that some programs are actually evaporating, or, some nonprofits are scaling back operations, which means the volunteers that used to help with those operations are also not coming to perform those tasks as regularly anymore. So I didn't know if, that was, if, does safety remain the biggest reason, or are we seeing funding as another reason?
Yeah, so funding is a good part of it, especially as we see, what staffing changes, it tends to be that spectrum where initially we start, maybe making some budget cuts here and then some staffing cuts. And then, if the nonprofit, has legs moving forward, or if it needs to merge or fold into another similar organization.
Right.
And so I've really been encouraging people that yes, safety is still a big part of it, especially in are more densely populated areas. But there's so much opportunity here. There's ways that volunteers can be filling in some of these gaps. And just because, you know, you can't do things the way you normally can doesn't mean that you can't do anything. And so a lot of times it's just finding something to start with and seeing what happens and mm-hmm. giving it a go, which I know when we have a million things on our to-do list and money that needs to come in and clients that need served, that can be really hard to set aside time to do. But I'm telling people, you know, just grab one of your biggest stakeholder volunteers. So who's your volunteer that comes the most or wants to come back really bad, and ask them, hey, you know, with safety, here's the stuff we're working on. What would you be comfortable in helping in? And let them kind of design their own position, and not even have to worry about that kind of safety aspect as much.
Mm-hmm. And shifting gears here a little bit, you know, we frequently talk about volunteers as being your organization's biggest supporters anyway. Mm-hmm. So how can we make sure we're utilizing volunteers? I mean, what does pandemic mean in terms of continuing to use the folks who are already our biggest cheerleaders?
Yeah, so I think part of it is looking at how you're engaging them. So, you know, we see fundraising, and I know funds and money can be tight in a lot of areas, but, you know, looking at your volunteers as your biggest advocates and ambassadors. So can, if you've never used volunteers in your fundraising or your marketing, do so. Ask them to share their stories, start some like social media campaigns and truly let them run with it. You know, it could be as simple as, you know, sending them out an email and telling them, hey, we started this Facebook fundraiser. Can you write a paragraph and share it on your personal social media? And that still gives them a tie and a buy-in back to your organization, as well as a platform to talk about how much they love and get to those stories that maybe they can't be physically serving the clients right now, but they can tell people about it.
Right.
And so it could be something as simple, which I know, again, simple is all relative, right? that you can get started on. But then it could also be, you know, looking at what your needs are now and working through, you know, how do we connect to them? Do you have a flow of dialogue and feedback and communication to them? I'm hearing some volunteers say that they're not hearing from their organizations. You know, their organizations emailed them back in March saying, we're figuring things out. We'll let you know when we're ready to go back. And they haven't heard from them since.
Goodness.
Yeah. That's a fast way to lose people, right? And
yeah,
so
I was gonna say, that
making
seems like
sure
a...
that, you know, mm-hmm. pick up the phone. I'm hearing a lot of like they just hold virtual town halls mm-hmm. And all the volunteers get on at once. It's, you know, it's something. And we have to treat them like our donors in this time where we can't engage them like volunteers per se.
Right. So right, the old way of engaging volunteerism has to change. It has to sort of update at least for a little while longer. Do you find that nonprofits, that it's easy to convert a what used to be the regular frontline volunteer to a new purpose, to a new element within the organization?
That's a really, really good question. I would say it can be a hit or a miss. So, mm-hmm. You know, I hear a lot of successes, but I do hear a lot of challenges just based around technology. It was funny the other day I was working with a nonprofit and we had a gentleman and it was his first time on Zoom. He'd never used Zoom before. He figured it out, but we had to take some time and walk him through that and wait for him to join, those kinds of things. So we do see some technology barriers, but I would also challenge people that use that as a reason to not try it, that we all know that's the new, you know, that's the world we're living in right now.
Yeah.
And so when I talked to him afterwards, I was like, you know, why didn't you tell me you've never been on Zoom before? And he's like, well, that's because it's normal now. It's normal for people to say we're meeting virtually. And he's like, so I knew that was what we needed to do. And so I would say, start the dialogue with your volunteers, make sure that it fits their skills, of course, and make sure it would, you know, fills their bucket, and is actually helpful to you, but don't be afraid to ask. I think they're ready for a challenge.
Right. And sometimes adaptability comes, like, I'm getting ahead of myself. I mean, clearly the situation calls for more adaptability, both on the organization's part and the volunteer's part. But sometimes people don't know that they're adaptable until you illustrate how it can be done. Mm-hmm. The person who used to be a soup kitchen server might actually really love making phone calls to folks on the database, in the database list, just to touch base with folks. And they might never think of it just because that's what they've never done.
So. Exactly. And think of how fun it would be for the maybe one of the donor in your database that they call is someone who doesn't talk to people very much during the day. You know, they are not interacting with people. And so then they start talking about stories of when they used to be able to serve clients. And you might end up finding, you know, that phone call was just so much more meaningful and so much more impactful to that donor because you had this volunteer sharing, and with the time, because as staff, a lot of times we just don't have the time to sit and talk for 30 minutes with a donor who maybe is not one of our top tiers, right?
Right.
And they're, like you said, that volunteer probably very well loves it as well.
Right. Exactly. You're just letting them get a little more immersed in the overall culture of the organization. And sometimes doing the behind the scenes work is more rewarding than doing the frontline work.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to the third point that you put on your notes to me, which is to ask, how do we can make sure we're making opportunities that are both meaningful for the organization and the volunteer, especially with regards to pandemic? How do you keep things meaningful? And how do you make sure everyone's able to participate and collaborate to their own fulfillment?
Yeah. I see a lot of times that people are just, coming up with things that maybe aren't beneficial to the mission. We're just doing things to keep our donors and volunteers engaged until we can get back to doing our quote unquote normal activities. And so, Mickey, one of the things that I put together for listeners is an awesome little delegation activity. Mm-hmm. It's called My Tasks, and I'll provide links and stuff. But that's an opportunity for you to sit down and just to jot through things that you're working on right now. What are the items in this, new role of yours and in the new work that you're doing that are maybe a little repetitive, either weekly or daily tasks, and then which ones of those could be done by volunteers. And so offering that then up, saying, okay, I've identified that I'm trying to do 5 donor calls, a social media push, and pull some reports every week. Is there a volunteer in our database that would have the skills for that and would maybe be interested? And then going to them and saying, this is a need that I have. Is anyone willing or interested in doing it? And so not only then are you freeing up time on your plate, but it's tangible items where the volunteer can feel like I really am contributing. I am making a immediate difference in this organization by volunteering.
Mm-hmm. I'm taking a look at the sheet that you sent me. It makes a ton of sense. It's one of those things that seems painfully simple, right? It looks like it looks like it ought to be common sense, and yet I can immediately see how it's useful, or how I would find it useful in my own life, even now.
Exactly. So, pre-2020, I did this as well. So this is something I picked up quite a few years ago, and I will say I do it personally every 6 months.
Okay.
I have it on my calendar every 6 months that I sit down over a lunch and fill it out. And I will say, for how many years I've done it, I have yet to come away with not at least 2 or 3 things that I could be delegating out.
Huh.
And then I you know, I kind of have an idea of who to go to, and they enjoy it, and I enjoy getting things off my plate and on to the next bigger and greater things, right?
Right, right, exactly. I spoke to one entity, again, just to shift gears a little bit here, I spoke to one entity that found that they were able to convert some of their longtime volunteers into board members even now. And even though pandemic creates a certain amount of economic uncertainty for individual volunteers, that it may still be an ideal time to continue to do some board recruiting. And now that some people have a lot more time on their hands for whatever reason, what do you think about converting volunteers into board members?
Yeah, exactly. I think kind of going along the theme of our whole conversation so far is it's really identifying and empowering people to use a higher skill level. So as we used as your example of someone serving the client and now doing phone calls for donor database. Mm-hmm. And so kind of, you know, having that mindset of leveling up or taking them up a step. And so having that opportunity to be a board member, or, you know, I'm seeing even things such as, you know, mentoring a staff. So, you know, a staff member who maybe is struggling with budgets or finances, maybe isn't super confident, and you've got a volunteer who does that professionally, maybe they're not willing to be on the board, maybe they already are on the board, and they've got a free hour or two to sit down with that staff. And so I think this is the time where you can kind of one-up your ask of people, and they're excited to get involved.
Right, right. Exactly. And it's in some ways just more stewardship, right? It's mm-hmm. it's sort of incumbent upon our managers, or not our volunteer managers, just to up the stewardship game with their volunteers and keep everybody in the fold.
Yeah. It's, I think if nothing else, this has been a year where I've seen silos coming down and seeing more and more partnership and dialogue that has to occur either due to shrinking staff and smaller budgets, or, you know, due to the fact that we're all remote, just seeking for connection and trying to come at things creatively. But that's been a big theme, and I'm excited to see what comes out of it as we start seeing more and more partners and more people being engaged in working with volunteers, donors, stakeholders, kind of all of the above.
Right, right. Karen, this is wonderful content, and I'm sure people are going to find it useful. If an individual had any questions for you or wanted to hire you to work on their nonprofit volunteer efforts, how would you suggest they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so feel free to find me on LinkedIn or shoot me an email. It's KarenLRisch@gmail.com. And then I'm always happy to chat with anyone who just has, you know, questions or how do I even get started. And that you can go through my website, which is soulofakaren.com. More than happy and always excited to talk volunteerism.
Yeah, that's great. And please remember to send me the link for the worksheet and to your website so we could put them in the episode show notes.
Perfect.
Karen, thank you for taking the time to do this episode with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
Mm-hmm. And to our listeners, thank you as always for joining us for the Nonprofit Snapcast. We value your comments and feedback via the website. That's nonprofitsnapcast.org. And if you have any questions about the consulting work that we do, please visit nonprofitsnapshot.org. That's nonprofitsnapshot, not to be confused with Nonprofit Snapcast. nonprofitsnapshot.org. Click on the consulting tab at the top of the screen and you'll see the list of things that we're currently doing in partnerships with consultants across the country. In the meantime, thanks again for joining us. We'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.